Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good morning, 6:06, September 2nd. We got a real serious problem on our hands, friends, which we talked about yesterday. There is a new movement or spate of cop killing going on out there. It's real scary. And I had asked you guys before yesterday if you thought the current administration, some of its statements were over the last few years taken out of context for some of this anti-cop, Black Lives Matter stuff. I don't know what exactly is behind it, but I think that there are mentally unstable people out there like this shooter in Virginia who already have a chip on their shoulder, and they just need one or two things to tip them over the edge. There was a cop shooting the other day in Texas. I think the guy was shot 14 times, some incredible amount of times, just because he was wearing, as far as they can tell, he was wearing a police uniform. Now we've got a cop killed in Illinois. Here is a little bit from in Chicago, a little bit on that.
Official.
And this is from Fox News.
The public is a massive manhunt is underway for three suspects in the shooting death of an Illinois police officer earlier this morning. With the help of helicopters and canine units, the FBI, ATF, and local police are scouring the surrounding area. Let's set the scene. Earlier this morning, a little before 8 a.m. local time, Lieutenant Joseph Glinowitz radioed for backup as he pursued three men on foot in the city of Fox Lake, Illinois. Fox Lake is about 55 miles north of Chicago. When his backup arrived, Glinowitz was found shot and later succumbed to his injuries. The three male suspects, two white and one black, apparently stripped the officer of his gun and pepper spray after they killed him in cold blood. Joining us now live from Fox Lake in the middle of the manhunt is Fox News' Mike Tobin. Mike, bring us up to speed with the latest. What do we know? I noticed that in the press conference, the officer said there's a three-pronged approach right now, a search for the perps, evidence recovery, and also an investigation into exactly what happened. Can you bring us up to speed?
And what is missing right now is confirmation of these preliminary reports that one suspect has been apprehended. And detective Covelli stopped short of denying those reports, saying that a suspect indeed was not apprehended, but said that he would have known. They are communicating with the state police, and the source cited was state police. He said they would probably know by now if the state police had picked somebody up, and they just don't have any information that a suspect has been apprehended. He can't confirm it at this time. Stop short of denying it. Beyond that, the manhunt is massive. All of the agencies are out here. It is something that strikes to the heart of the police agencies. You heard Mayor Schmidt when he was talking. He seemed to tremble. Tears in the back of his throat, if you will, as he tried to describe this officer known as G.I. Joe, a 30-year-plus veteran on this force. I talked to a cop who knew him for 27 years. He said this was a phenomenal police officer. He said he was very athletic. This is not the guy who would get sloppy and put himself at risk. He would put himself at risk if the situation warranted that. In fact, he said this is the kind of officer you would want as your backup. And we know in the situation that when the backup arrived, they found the officer nicknamed G.I. Joe, gravely wounded, if not dead, by the time the backup arrived. Very sad situation. He has four sons. This officer said that his oldest son just got his driver's license. So instead of this being a new, exciting family for an exciting chapter for this family, it's a time of mourning. It's a time of great loss, a time of great tragedy. Once again, we're talking about an officer being slain in the line of duty, and we're still lacking a lot of information. What exactly led up to this officer being slain? We know that he radioed ahead because he saw some suspicious characters. Suspects described now only as two white males and one black male are at large to the best of our knowledge. And the description doesn't get any better than that. For the agencies that are out scouring this area, it really is a needle in the haystack. You have many single family dwellings. You have vacation homes. You have boathouses. You have boats. You have campers. In addition to that, there's been a lot of rain this year. There's been some information that the suspects may just be hunkered down in the tall grass. Guys, back to you in New York.
One. Mike, I was curious about this when I was reading about the story. It said there was a traffic stop. So was it a simple traffic stop, or I heard you just say a moment ago that the officer had radioed in that he saw suspicious characters. Had he seen suspicious activity? Do we know any details?
That seems to be the information that we're getting through the most solid sources, that he spotted suspicious activity and responded to that. There's some information that there may have been a robbery ongoing, and we're not really getting that through the sources at Center Mass, the most solid sources. So the information about a traffic stop, that seems to be some of that preliminary information that's kind of falling by the wayside. Possibly a robbery. What we have on the record from the solid sources is just suspicious activity.
All right, so here's the question you got to be asking yourself is, are these premeditated attacks on police officers? And if they are, we have possibly entered into a very dangerous period of time in this country, you know, in which the police may, just out of an interest of survival, have to start brandishing their weapons and more actively and take a more defensive posture in pulling people over and dealing with crimes or suspects. I personally think that a lot of the rhetoric that's come out of the Black Lives Movement feeds into this. And I think the Black Lives Movement is idiotic. I mean, either all lives matter or lives don't matter, you know, but to put out this thing that if we don't put out the phrase Black Lives Matter, black people are going to be killed indiscriminately. I don't think we found that in the investigation of a lot of these things, but that's just my opinion. 523-1450 to offer yours. fourth, this shooting in Illinois, fourth police officer death in 8 days. So, and I'm saying this is a scary situation. Like I say, these people, this guy, the shooter in Virginia was a counterpeg waiting to go off. So, you know, these people that are kind of living on the edge anyway, and might need an excuse. And, you know, like I had mentioned to Walt Rubel, there is a core or a layer of hip hop that's kind of, you know, anti-cop and anti-authority, obviously, but Cop Killer, that song Cop Killer. So I'm just kind of wondering where this is heading. 523-1450. And they're asking, multiple agencies investigating suspicious death of off-duty Texas police officer. Don't really know what's happening, but here's a little bit more. Fourth police death in 8 days. That's real high.
Well, today's shooting in the state of Illinois now makes this the fourth police officer who has been killed in the line of duty in just the last week alone. Unbelievable. Let's check in with Trace Gallagher, who is following that angle of the story. Hi there, Trace.
Hi, Heather. You know, so far this year, 21 police officers across the country have been shot to death. That is slightly down from last year when 41 police officers were killed by gunfire. But for law enforcement, as you say, this past week has been extremely devastating. Four officers shot and killed, including Louisiana State Trooper Stephen Vincent, who was pulled off the side of the road to help a driver whose car was in a ditch. That driver, who was apparently under the influence at the time, pulled out a shotgun and fired at point blank range. Then the suspect stood over the wounded officer, taunting him and telling him he was about to die. In Sunset, Louisiana, about an hour outside of Baton Rouge, Officer Henry Nelson was responding to reports of multiple stabbing victims. When Officer Nelson arrived, he was attacked by a man who then shot the officer with his own service revolver. The suspect turned out to be the officer's cousin. And this weekend, outside of Houston, Sheriff's Deputy Darren Goforth was putting gas into his patrol car when a man walked up to him, put a gun to his head, and fired. Then, as Deputy Goforth fell to the ground, the suspect kept firing until the gun was empty, 15 shots in all. The suspect was a black male with a history of mental problems. The exact motive remains unclear. County Sheriff Ron Hickman believes the deputy's execution was linked to the nation's growing anti-police rhetoric. Listen to him.
This rhetoric has gotten out of control. We've heard Black Lives Matter, All Lives Matter. Well, cops' lives matter too. So why don't we just drop the qualifier and just say Lives Matter and take that to the bank?
Of the multiple police shootings over the past 2 years, at least 18 of them, almost 20, have been ambush attacks where officers appeared to be targeted because they were in uniform.
18 Heather. Ambush attacks in the last year. That's what he said, right? Trace?
Yes.
Okay.
Incredible. What I had asked Walt was yesterday, where does the president stand on this stuff? I mean, I'm sure if you went up and asked him, he'd say he's opposed to it, of course, but where is he getting up? It doesn't seem to get up and in the situations where he might be I don't know. I mean, where it might be seen as partisanship against some of his groups, you know. Anyway, 617. You're listening to Amos Cruces on 1450 KOBE. I'm Kelly O'Connell, 523-1450. 80561. 80 will be right back. And pardon the interruption there. Mm-hmm.
Well, a mortgage shouldn't be a problem. Your credit's in pretty good shape.
Pretty good? I know I have a 798 FICO score, thanks to the tools and help on Experian.com. Kaboom.
Huh. Well, I just have a few other questions.
Chuck, the only other question you need to ask is, what else can you do for me?
I'll just take a water.
FICO scores are used in 90% of credit decisions, so get your credit swagger on. Go to Experian.com, become a member of Experian Credit Tracker, and take charge of your score.
It's 6:22, and let me get your temperature outside right now, which is, it was a nice night last night, I guess. 70 degrees right now, high of 97, low of 70 tonight. And so we're asking, really, is there an violent crime against police out there? And if you don't think that a person can be influenced by things in the media on how they act, I can guarantee you you're wrong. You know, people, there are people out there that are kind of on I don't know, they're less stable than the average person. Maybe they're into drugs, maybe they're mentally ill, a history of mental illness or whatever, and they hear some of the rhetoric out there and they react to it. And that's why I think it's important. For instance, I asked the guy that came on yesterday, Walt Rubel, I asked him why the president didn't say anything when they put out this $10,000 bounty on the guy that shot Trayvon Martin. And Walt's response was, he didn't say anything about that. He didn't say anything about a lot of stuff. To me, that's not an acceptable answer. You're selling yourself when you're running for office as post-partisan, post-racial. Therefore, you get involved no matter what's going on, right? 523-1450. If there's something that's going on that's of a racial nature, that doesn't mean you don't step into it. You do step into it because you're post-racial and you're supposed to get involved and help to calm it down. And I was absolutely astounded that neither the president nor the Department of Justice said anything about this $10,000 bounty put on this guy. I can't remember his name, but the guy that shot Trayvon Martin, they just let it hang out there. You know, what are they going to go lynch the guy or going to go shoot him or whatever? So, I mean, fortunately, even though he had his name and picture and address put out there, he had to relocate several times. And I'm not defending that guy. That's not the issue. It's that the government has got to get involved in keeping peace in society when it's possible. And I mean, the fact that the government didn't say anything about that said to me that kind of thing is okay. It communicated to all of the most racially influenced and motivated people, it's okay if you lash out. We're not going to do anything. And so just because nothing happened, just because the $10,000 bounty wasn't collected, doesn't mean that that's not a mark against us. You know, that was a terrible situation. All right. Here's a question. Is there an epidemic of violence against police in America? This is Bill Riley. O'Reilly.
Even tonight, so far this year, 22 police officers have been killed by gunfire in America. Some believe that's in response to a number of black men being shot by the cops. Bexar County, Texas, there's a video showing 41-year-old Gilbert Flores being shot to death by two police officers. The cops say Flores was armed, but no weapon is seen in the video. That doesn't mean anything, of course. And that kind of incident is seized upon by Black Lives Matter and other radical groups to demonize the police. Thus, we have open season on the cops. Today in Illinois, 52-year-old police lieutenant Joe Glinowitz shot and killed in the Chicago suburb of Fox Lake. Lieutenant was a 32-year veteran of the Fox Lake Department and father of four children. His killer is still at large. Police are looking for three suspects, two white men, one black. Joining us now from Pittsburgh, Dr. Alfred Blumstein, criminologist at Carnegie Mellon University here in New York City. Dr. Peter Moskas, professor at John Jay College of Criminal Justice, former police officer. Do you believe that the Black Lives Matter crew and other radicals are igniting violence against cops?
I think they're making the police job tougher, but I think the police can handle that. It's always been a tough job. But no, I don't think there's not a result of cops getting killed from Black Lives
Matter. Okay, so despite the provocative pigs in a blanket and all of this business, and every time there is a controversy about an officer shooting a black person, they're out there stirring the pot. You don't feel that disturbed individuals watch this and then act out?
There are fewer cops shot this year than last year. Are you willing to give Black Lives Matter credit for that? Cop shootings are down.
I know they're down slightly.
About 17%.
But in August, they're up.
It was a bad month. There were none.
Right.
I mean, overall, they're down.
Okay.
So I don't see an epidemic there.
How do you see it, Dr. Blumstein?
I think first there's a very serious copycat problem, as there was with school shootings, and I don't see that as necessarily coming out of the Black Lives Matter environment, but I see just a lot of change going on in policing, because police are now being held much more accountable for the things they do that might be wrong, and there has been growing tension between police and communities. And certainly black lives do matter in terms of the people being hit by police. Black lives matter also because when homicide rates go up, they probably go up more for blacks than
they
for whites
do.
Also.
Okay, but the problem is that the propagandists of Black Lives Matter, I mean, there are justified police shootings.
I wouldn't call that propaganda.
Let me challenge you then. In Ferguson, all right, the man who was killed attacked the police officer, Darren Wilson. He attacked him.
Absolutely.
Right. But the Black Lives Matter, they're still doing hands up and shoot. That's not propaganda.
There's a lot of rhetoric going on.
That's propaganda. Come on, Doc.
Rhetoric.
You know what happened, and you're distorting what happened. That's propaganda. I want to throw these
cases,
stats out, and you both can reply.
There have been cases where videos have shown inappropriate behavior by police.
And that's true, and that has to be dealt with. And
absolutely,
the truth is what we're after here. And I want to quote statistics by the Centers for Disease Control. All right? 99.9% of all arrests do not result in any violence at all. 99.9%. All right. In 2013, last stats available, 147 blacks were killed by cops, 268 whites. Okay. So to make this a war on black men is fallacious, is it not?
I think there's a problem sometimes with cops shooting too many people. I don't think it's not an issue of cops outgunning for black men. I think that is
all right. So you agree with that? It's not cops gunning
states,
black men.
Like California, where police shoot people six times as often as New York. So they're doing something right in New York.
I agree.
We could reduce some police shooting.
I'm just trying to get, I want the police to be as competent as possible.
All right. So one of the things that I found interesting is that there is this movement over in Europe and kind of sensationally in places like Britain where the police don't carry firearms. Now, people on the left that are you know, anti-gun will point to this and say it's the way forward. What do you think about that? Would you ever for a moment take away guns for cops in America? Now, you couldn't do that probably without having a completely anti-gun movement in America and laws against firearms and stuff. The reason that police officers carry guns in our culture is, as everybody knows, there's a lot of guns out there and they've got to be able to fight fire with fire. But I believe that violence, and I've got to do a little bit of research on this, I believe gun violence went up 300% when they passed that law in Britain. And, you know, Bernie Sanders is not anti-gun, and people want to know why. His state has the most lax gun laws in the nation. Anybody can have a concealed firearm there without a permit, and it's the fourth safest state for guns. So, you know, a lot of times there's a lot of knee-jerk reactions when there's a shooting, and at the same time, statistics really don't back up the position of, for example, anti-gun people. But is there a way to make, I think it's fair to ask, is there a way to cut down on the number of shootings by police officers while still keeping things safe? Now, in some of these places where they go, like the north side of Chicago or whatever, are famous for being extremely violent areas. And you're going to just assume that they're going to have to be heavily armed to go into these areas. Anyway, 632 Kelly O'Connell AM Las Cruces, 1450 KOBE, 523 1450 to call in. And 805-6180 to text, and we will be back and shifting gears. And, well, of course, we're going to get into presidential stuff a little bit, but I wanted to ask you a question about this clerk who is opposed to gay marriage, but she's been married herself four times. So we'll be right back. All right, so it's 6:37, and there's this story that I found amusing and a little bit hard to follow, and you might want to say, well, it's out of, you know, it's out of the Kentucky, or it's out of, it sounds kind of West Virginia, but the clerk who is fighting the gay marriage certificate in Kentucky has been married 4 times. Now, that is not even just part of it, really. A fellow Houston County clerk says that's forgivable. The Kentucky County clerk facing potential stiff penalties for refusing to issue same-sex marriage licenses has been married 4 times, raising questions of hypocrisy. Let me ask you this. Well, she's been divorced 3 times, first in 94, then in 2006, and then in 2008, which brings up the point that you should never forget that the more times you get married, the more likely you are to be divorced. So just, you know, take that. If you're going to get a divorce, don't think that your problems are over. All right, so this is the bizarre part to me. She gave birth to twins, and her name is Rowan County Clerk Kim Davis. She gave birth to twins 5 months after divorcing her first husband. They were fathered by her third husband, but adopted by her second husband. Davis worked at the clerk's office at the time of each divorce and has since remarried. All right, now here's the thing that I want to throw out to you, which I think why this might be kind of a red herring, what they call a red herring, which is goes back to the days escaping from the police, from the sheriff, and they were using bloodhounds to track him down. Supposedly they would take a smelly fish and kind of wipe it across the trail and throw it in the bushes to throw him off. But anyway, the red herring here would be, does it really matter if she's been married and divorced herself? I mean, because even if she has, and number two, we don't expect everybody, for example, who's involved in law or government or whatever to be perfect, you know? So I am just curious what you, 523, maybe it's too bizarre to even comment on, 523-1450. Do you think this invalidates her? Now, another part of this is that she has apparently had a religious experience where, and she's got an attorney who says that, you know, she's not the person she used to be. She's different now. She's had a religious conversion. And basically, her slate is wiped clean. But I was thinking about this last night. Does it matter? She's an official position. She's doing something where she has to decide whether it's right or wrong. So we remember Lynn Ellen's DeGeneres jumped on the bandwagon, apparently in between his days of surfing on the internet, according to some reports, that he was stood up for gay marriage and he fought for it. There's a couple of things that came to mind last night that I wanted to ask you about. And number one is, you know, we don't expect Lynn Ellen's DeGeneres to be perfect. You know, for him to take that stand, why does this lady have to be perfect? Now, she has been imperfect on the air. It seems hypocritical, perhaps, that she's fighting for marriage and yet she's had 4 of her own, and her third husband gave birth to the twins that the second husband raised. That makes it seem like it's straight out of, Kentucky or West Virginia, whatever. So anyway, 523-1450. Now, she's insisting it's not a gay or lesbian issue, but rather a First Amendment issue concerning her religious liberty. To issue a marriage license which conflicts with God's definition of marriage with my name affixed to the certificate would violate my conscience, she said. Now, why can't she take that position? Maybe she's the wrong person to take the position, in your opinion, but all right, so she stopped issuing all marriage licenses a day after the Supreme Court nationally legalized gay marriage. The deeply devout Christian woman also shed some light on her religious beliefs, saying she owes her life to Jesus Christ. Following the death of my godly mother-in-law over 4 years ago, I went to church to fulfill her dying wish. There I heard a message of grace and forgiveness and surrendered my life to Jesus. So she's a card-carrying evangelical. She's born again. Oh, she certainly has every right to act on those beliefs, doesn't she? All right. That's one question, 523-1450, and it's not really lighting up the boards here. But here's another question that kind of came to mind. And I had asked yesterday if anybody thought Hillary is having an affair with her assistant, Huma Abedin, who somebody told me looked like she'd been hit in the face with a bag full of quarters. But I was just curious. We're very tending towards being very pro-gay and pro-gay marriage now. What was it about the gay movement or gay activities or whatever that elicited such a response from people? And I mean, universally across the world, what was it? So just kind of curious. It's kind of funny how things change, and each person is going to have their own opinion on this stuff, but it's kind of fascinating to see things change so quickly. And I also find it fascinating that it's the government that seems to be the driver, because state after state voted against gay marriage and the government kept coming in and changing those decisions, and to the point where people basically came to accept it. And it seems like people didn't resent that the government was doing that, the federal government, they embraced it. So it just strikes me as strange that we're kind of in the middle of a gigantic social experiment right now. And we do have a phone call. Thanks for the call to the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
Tony.
Tony, what's up?
Hey, man, on this whole issue of states' rights, you just mentioned how the states voted, many states voted against gay marriage, yet the feds made it legal.
Tony, every single one, the states, every single election where they had a right to vote for or against gay marriage, it was voted down universally, and then the federal government kept coming in, and finally, so I don't even know if it matters what states vote for.
Exactly, and that was the what I wanted to raise. The issue I wanted to raise is, Colorado, Washington voted in marijuana laws, and dealing marijuana is against federal law.
Yeah.
So why aren't they stepping in there? Same thing with sanctuary states and cities.
Well, people
are violating federal law.
People can get arrested and do get arrested for violating federal law on marijuana, even in states where it's legal. So be careful, folks. Those of you who are using medical marijuana and going through checkpoints and stuff, just be informed that there's a mixture of law, authority on that.
Well, I'm just curious why judges aren't stepping in on these issues and saying you cannot pass that law because it violates federal law.
Because the federal government at the highest level, the Supreme Court, has stated, for example, that gay marriage is legal. So that's what happened to that one. In terms of the laws for marijuana, I think there's a social movement that has got started to get legal backing, and I think states are kind of standing back on that. You know, all of these judges are influenced by the ideas of society, just like everybody else.
Exactly. And they're making political statements instead of judicial statements based on the Constitution.
Well, I mean, we're living at a time when the opinion of society is more powerful than powerful influence in the country. It's more powerful than the church.
What I'm trying to get at is, if the will of the people and social influence is dictating what these judges do, if states are voting down gay marriage, they obviously are not going with the social majority.
No, what I'm talking about is the opinion of the elites is expressed in various different ways. And you got some background noise there. Thanks for the call, Tony. All right. So I think that the societal, the influence, I mean, I would say that, if you polled people, it's possible, if you polled all these people in America, every single person, you might find that gay marriage was not as popular. Polls seem to suggest the alternative, though. But here's the question. Here's what I have in my mind. The church has kind of been pushed out of the public place, right? And to a large extent, although we've got a very strong Christian population in America, increasingly the government has emerged as the biggest player. So then the question is, what is it? Who is going to decide? The ultimate question in my mind is, who's going to decide what's right and wrong? Is it going to be the church, the Bible? Is it going to be society? And increasingly, it appears to be society. That, my friends, is one reason I think people are supporting Trump, is I think people are very, very worried that we're going off in a track in which we're going to leave all of our traditional American beliefs behind. And he's standing up for not necessarily all of the traditional beliefs, but what he's standing up for is the right for an individual person to stand up and give their opinion, even in total opposition with the elites, and survive it. So anyway, 6:48, Kelly O'Connell Show, and we'll be come back and I guess talk about this maybe a little bit more, maybe a little Trump. It is about 70 degrees outside, and I've got another call, but I got to take a break.
Hey, Kelly, it's Ralph.
Hey, what's up?
Nothing much. Hey, I'd like to bring up that subject of the police.
Yeah.
If it's all right with you.
Yeah, absolutely. Can I put you on hold?
Sure. Kelly.
Yeah.
Kelly, I need to tell you a little bit of something about myself.
Yes.
That it's not very good. I've been incarcerated here in Las Cruces from the Welcome Inn alone, like Cobb County, 26 times. I lived in Albuquerque. I worked out of Albuquerque for 16 and a half years when Albuquerque was third in the nation in crime.
Uh-huh.
And you've been pretty hard on the police department in Albuquerque. They straightened the mess out over there, but, you know, they had to get tough. I've been to in San Diego. I've lived there and North Tijuana, like the back of my hand, Juarez, Phoenix, 3 years, Albuquerque, Santa Fe. All over. I've been, like you cannot imagine, in the United States and 18 other countries also.
Wow.
And I know the police well. I'm a 1080 armed and dangerous. That's what they have me rated as. And let me tell you, the police department here in Las Cruces is the best I've ever been around.
Really?
And they've arrested me. I had the SWAT team over there in my house for 6.5 hours. I can't express myself as to how good the police department is here in Las Cruces, but you have some rotten apples. You have two officers that eventually are going to get hurt because they're brutal. But The rest of the department is good.
Interesting.
And I know it because I've been there. You know, it's not like somebody that talks about something or this and that or reads about it. I've been there. I've
You've
been
lived.
In the worst places in Albuquerque. The worst. I mean, you go in there and your life is on the line. And not just one day, 2 days, but years and years I've been there.
Interesting. Well, we're about out back on the air, so hold on a second.
Okay.
It's 6:51, and we've got a caller here, and it is Ralph. And Ralph, you had some comments about the police?
Yes, specifically, more so the police department here in Las Cruces. Like I mentioned to you that, you know, I lived in Phoenix for a little over 3 years, San Diego, Albuquerque, 16 and a half years, when Albuquerque was third in the nation in crime, and then it dropped to second. Nation in crime. And Santa Fe, you name it, I've been to quite a few places. And like I mentioned to you, I've been arrested here out of the Welcome Inn bar 26 times, incarcerated. And Las Cruces by far has the best police department I have ever encountered. You have a couple of rotten apples, for sure. They're brutal, and eventually somebody will get to them and they're going to hurt them. But the overall, all of the officers that I dealt with, other than a couple in Las Cruces, let me tell you, they're the best. They don't suck their gut in and throw their chest out like in other places. They talk to you. They're good.
Ralph, you're breaking up. You're breaking up. Why don't you call back? I'm going to have to go to break myself. We got behind a little bit, but call back in the next hour and let's get a better connection. All right. Okay, so Las Cruces has the best police department that Ralph has ever experienced, and that's good to hear. I mean, you could only probably really appreciate the police if total chaos broke out, and then you would see what it was like to not have any police around. And policing is a fairly modern development. The ancient Romans didn't have any police in Rome. Just as they developed something called the Peregrini, but policing is a couple hundred years old. And I had read somewhere recently that the average murder was in the ancient world was not solved. And now we have these modern techniques where a fairly high percentage of murders and other crimes are solved. We have to be grateful to the police. That doesn't mean we accept brutality, of course, but I mean, I think the Black Lives Matter is a mindless movement, like so many of these other movements that come out of the far left. It's really no different than Occupy. Same people, different chant. So, all right, Obama went to a glacier and he said there is global warming. Whatever that means. I mean, do you think the president has a high level of credibility on this topic? Do you see the president as having a strong mind, as having a strong, independent mind? I mean, isn't that what you want from a leader, to be unbiased and to have strong, rational faculties, to be able to logically think through things? Do you see him as a logical thinker? We will take another break here, and we'll just have a little bit left, but where I got a lot of ground to cover today, not too gay. Anyway, 6:54, and we'll be right back. Six 57. They're investigating a mass baptism before a football practice in Georgia, Villa Rica, Georgia. Sutton School District is looking into this. Apparently, one of the coaches has had an inordinate influence on the rest of the team. Many of the players and another coach were baptized right before practice. So the school district is, of course, cracking down. Other news, the surging ranks of America's ultra poor. We'll come back and start off with that. Incredible. By one dismal measure, America is joining the likes of third world countries The number of U.S. residents who are struggling to survive on just $2 a day has more than doubled since 1996. The economy stinks, and we've been lied to for the last decade that it's recovering. It's not recovering. You've got almost 100 million people out of work. How can it recover? It's absurd. Anyway, we need to fight nationally, regionally, and locally to get some economic movement. Let's get these laws changed in town so we can open up businesses and all these empty storefronts. I've never seen anything like it. This is like a third world country here. It's absolutely obscene. 659 Kelly O'Connell. You're listening to AM Las Cruces on 1450 KOBE. 523-1450 to call in. 805-6180 to text. Please call in if you're a socialist. I want to hear all your arguments for how wonderful socialism makes the world. Be right back. just trying to do a little research here at 7:06 on some of the claims by the president on these glaciers. And the president is up at this, and one of the most amazing things that you will ever see, and I don't know what else I was going to say about the ultra poor. Let me come back to that article, but I was just doing a little bit of research on this claim by Obama. A shrinking glacier is backdrop to Obama's message on climate change. There's a lot that we don't know about the climate. To a large extent, we apparently don't know that much about what causes, snowfall and ice fields and glaciers and everything. Because while the president is up in this glacier, Kenai Fjords National Park, my whole family lives up in Alaska, so I've been around this stuff, and one of the most amazing things you will ever see in your life is if you fly up to Alaska, you go along the coast, and you see this ice field, and it is pretty much as far as the eyes can see, and there's mountains sticking up in the middle of it and everything. It's just astounding. It's just jaw-dropping. But President Obama hiked to a shrinking glacier Tuesday, traveling to this icy expanse to deliver a visual message to the country. This is what climate change looks like. Well, why didn't he go to the North Pole or the South Pole and look at all of the increase in ice? We've got more polar ice in the North Pole and the South Pole than in recorded history, I think. And so the reason that I do not find this present president to be credible on this stuff is he has never, as far as I can remember, mentioned anything about any evidence that goes against what he believes. So, I mean, I'd like to know why, if the president is an unbiased and open-minded person, why he is never, ever mentioned the fact that there is conflicting data on this. There is as much data or more that suggests that we're not in the middle of global warming. As a matter of fact, the experts have stated that we simply are not in any period of global warming right now. And they've called it a hiccup. They've called it a momentary lapse, and they've got the reasons. Supposedly the carbon is being buried in the ocean and it's sopping up the carbon, but it's going to come back. But you've got a situation in which the science itself is in conflict. The president stands up and chooses one side of it. So why would he do that? What would he have to gain? Well, let's just say that you're a skeptic, maybe even a cynic, and your position is that the president is doing this for reasons other than saving the earth. What other possible reasons could there be? If you look into the formula and the outline of how they want to deal with this stuff, it looks a whole lot like Marxism. And what I mean by that is that it looks like wealth redistribution, which is one of the hallmarks of a socialist or a Marxist plan, is some government group takes money from wealthier people or entities and delivers that to poorer entities. And that's what global warming would do. This carbon credit, this massive scheme to buy and sell carbon credits, is premised on that. The richer countries would enrich the poor countries to buy the right to use carbon and heat the earth up and everything. The only problem is that the earth is not heating up. But my main point that I'm getting at is that does the president have any credibility in these things? What are we doing continuing to fight over global warming when the scientists themselves say that it's not happening, it's not happened for 20 years, for several decades? Do we really know that much about how the earth works, about how the climate works? I've got a book. I haven't read it, but I just ordered it on the limits of knowledge. And it's a pretty good book because it made this one point that knowledge is like an island. the bigger the island grows, of course, the happier we are because we have more knowledge, but the bigger the shoreline gets, and the shoreline represents the limits of knowledge. So I'm like, wow, that's a brilliant way to look at it. So my only question that I would put to this guy is, why are you doing, and it just seems to be, and anybody who's paid any attention will seem to draw the conclusion, there's always two ways to look at president is doing in any particular situation. There always seems to be a downside in a way that I've never seen in any other president, with the open borders. I don't know what the excuse is for the open borders, but I can give you some facts off of it real quick. Listen to this. The government is acting as if the purpose of America is to have open borders. The reason I say that is that they found out that there's this federal system, this kind of hidden system, to relocate all of these people that are coming in illegally. They're not even trying to fight back against it. And that's how these violent criminals get in here. 523-1450, by the way. Listen to this. More than half of immigrants are on welfare. 700 out of every 1,000 UN refugees are resettled in the USA. Des Moines public schools now majority-minority. That's in the heartland, right? So you've got, and one in four people in Houston, one in four in Houston born in foreign countries. So we're turning this country into a vast area of foreign-born people. And so what's the purpose? The government's doing it on purpose. What's the goal? What would be the rational goal for why you'd do something like that? Throw out the politics. Let's just sit down with logic and math and common sense. It is to bring a foreign element into the country. It is to disabuse us, to take away this collective understanding and belief in the American way, obviously. So don't forget that socialism, Marxism, all these things run off of revolution. The only holy thing in Marxism, in socialism, in communism, whatever way you want to, these are all kind of different facets to this lump of coal that we call modern liberalism. The only thing that's holy in there is revolution. So if you can't have a violent overthrow of the country, and those are the people that the president hung out with in the early days, and don't forget these people talked about overthrowing the country for a communist revolution, and up to 25 that they would have to send people to re-education camps, and up to 25 million people would have to be liquidated. That's what happened to all the other communist countries, right? Why? Because communism and socialism is not a natural conclusion that smart, everyday, ordinary people draw. Nobody wants to work for someone else's benefit. Nobody wants to have pooled resources on everything. Nobody in their right mind wants the government to own all their property. So the government has to coerce. The government itself has to be taken over. Don't forget the bourgeoisie, or not the bourgeoisie, but the Bolsheviks in Russia were 5% of 1%. Which is an infinitesimally small number. They had to have a terror state just to keep everybody on the program. That's one of the arguments. But anyway, getting back to this, the reason that you would cover the surface of America with immigrants is because you don't like the identity that America has right now and you want to change it. That's the most transparent reason in history. And it is a frightening thing to think that if that's the number one goal, what is going to be sacrificed? What's going to be put in danger? I mean, we've already seen these people come into the country and kill Americans. So, I mean, I don't know what else to say other than the fact that it's difficult to trust the goodwill of this president up in Alaska at this, when you've got all of this other evidence that there's not global warming, or that global warming is not as severe as stated, and the president has never once mentioned it. What's his ultimate goal? I mean, people on the left know what his goal is. It's to make the country more socialist. So is there anything that can be done between now and when he leaves office? I don't know. 716, 717, you're listening to AM Las Cruces on 1450 KOBE. I'm Kelly O'Connell, 523-1450, 805-6180. We'll be right back. I'm going to talk a little bit more about global warming. All right, so on this global warming thing, to be totally frank, to be totally transparent, I hate talking about socialism and Marxism because I think it, just to hear that somebody say that makes me think a person doesn't know what they're talking about. They're some sort of a reactionary, but I really don't know. I mean, I've heard people talk about it a lot, but I've never... You've got to get into it to understand what the theory is, only because people never really get down into the theory. But it is essentially very simplistic. The government has to get involved in people's lives in increasing numbers and in increasing amounts so that wealth can be reallocated and that the markets can be masterminded and can controlled by the government, and so that we can build a paradise on Earth. And the whole problem with this, though, is that it does not create paradise in history. It has created hell on Earth. So that's why we have to be willing to stand up and talk about it and to push back against it and try to inform other people what's really going on. The government in and of itself is kind of an unthinking, unknowing entity. We are the government. The more the bureaucracy grows, though, the less it responds to the needs of the people. By definition, anytime you deal with a big bureaucracy. By the way, somebody at the post office was telling me there's a real problem because you've only got one person, speaking of bureaucracy, working a lot of times at the front desk. Now, there's a lot of people working in the office, the post office. I'm talking about the one downtown, but I'm sure that other ones are dealing with this. One person and there's 10 or 20 people in line, and there's a little sign there that says our goal is to serve you in 5 minutes or less. If that's the goal... That can't be the goal, because if that was the goal, you'd have more than one person working. You know, I think there's room in the counter for four. So the person who's running that particular branch needs to put more people on the windows. It's not fair to the customers. It's also not fair to the workers who have to absorb the unhappiness of these people coming in and have to stand in line for 10 or 20 minutes. To buy a stamp. All right. This thing here from Daily Mail. Myth of Arctic meltdown. Stunning satellite images show summer ice cap is thicker and covers 1.7 million square kilometers more than 2 years ago. This is last year. Despite Al Gore's prediction, it would be ice-free by now. Now, why do these alarmists never have to pay any price for being wrong? 7 years after former U.S. Vice President Al Gore's warning, Arctic ice cap has expanded for second year in a row. An area twice the size of Alaska, America's biggest state, was open water 2 years ago and is now covered in ice. These satellite images taken from the University of Illinois' Cryosphere Project show ice has become more concentrated. So that's in the north. And all right. And oh, here's from Al Gore. The ice cap is falling off a cliff. It could be completely gone in summer in as little as 7 years from now. Al Gore's Nobel Prize speech. So, I mean, is Al Gore any kind of an authority on anything? Why doesn't the president, at least say, well, we know that the polar ice caps are growing. By the way, the South Pole is bigger than they've ever measured. And don't forget, there were three icebreakers that got involved, or two icebreakers. A ship went down to collect evidence for global warming. This is like last year. Get stuck in the ice, ironically. They send a Chinese or a Russian? I think a Russian icebreaker down there to free it. It gets stuck. So the Americans have to send their, you know, giant icebreaker down there to get the ship and the icebreaker out. The president, if you think he's an honest person, as an open-minded person, why doesn't he mention that the polar caps are larger than we've ever seen them? Here's from at least the South Pole is. Here's from May 19th, 2015, a couple months ago. Updated NASA data, global warming not causing any polar ice retreat. Something that the president appears to be suggesting, that if the glaciers are getting smaller in Alaska, that means the ice in Alaska is shrinking, right? So here's a problem with this kind of science. It's called anecdotal science. You take an anecdote. You take one event. You know, a tornado hits Las Cruces. Therefore, a local politician says we need $10 million for tornado readiness. Well, what are the chances of getting another tornado? So anyway, updated data from NASA satellite instruments reveal the Earth's polar ice caps have not receded at all since the satellite instruments began measuring the ice caps in 1979. Since the end of 2012, moreover, total polar ice extent has largely remained above the post-1979 average, which was at the end of a 30-year cooling period. So, and here's a little more. Updated NASA satellite data show the polar ice caps remained at approximately their 1979 extent until the middle of the last decade. Beginning in 2005, they modestly receded for several years. By 2012, though, polar sea ice had receded by approximately 10% from 1979 measurements. But now we're back, and it's growing. And so anyway, if the president is an open-minded person and he has the good of America, of the world, if he is really representing everybody in America by making the best choices for all Americans, why is he refusing to ever mention any of the evidence against global warming? And the answer is, he's either got some other thing that he's working on and he's using this as an excuse, or he's a fanatic. And a fanatic never listens to any counter information. 727, you're listening to AM Las Cruces on 1450 KOBE. I'm Kelly O'Connell. 523-1450. 523-1450. 805-61-80. We'll be right back. Hey, who's this?
This is Bill Allen.
Bill Allen?
Yeah.
Bill Allen, what's going on?
Well, not a heck of a lot. How about you?
Well, just hanging around the studio.
I think that there's been some folks that have spoken with Kelly trying to get me on your program here in the near future.
I am Kelly, by the way.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I didn't recognize your voice. My bad.
No problem, man. What do you want to get on the show for?
Well, I think, so I'm the president of the chamber here in town.
Okay.
And I'd just like to talk a little bit about what's going on as far as we're concerned with the business climate here, and a little bit of discussion on our activity going forward in the upcoming city council and mayoral election.
That sounds fantastic. You know, I know Troy Tudor, and I had asked him a number of times to try to get you guys to come on, and he said he was working on it.
Yeah. There you go. So how do we set something up? Or do you want to give me a call when your show's done, where you've got more time to chat?
Yeah, what's your number?
The work number is 524-1968.
Okay. All right, I'll save it. Did you want to say anything on the air?
No. I was more interested in your topic yesterday when you had Walt Rubel on, and that gentleman called up that was biracial, and Walt didn't address the whole point that you were trying to make. Anyway, I figured I probably wouldn't have sounded real positive at that point yesterday, so I'm glad I did not call.
Oh, well, you know, got to have a little criticism.
All right. There you go.
All right, Bill, listen, I'll give you a call as soon as I get off the air.
Okay, Kelly, thanks. Have a good show, buddy.
Thank you. Thanks for the call.
You bet. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye. It's 7:31, and I got a couple of stories I want to get into in this segment, and then I have coming up for you, well, I've got three stories here. One of the biggest stories, or one of the biggest topics that has ever come up on the show in terms of enthusiasm from people calling in or talking to me later about it, is aliens and the paranormal. I don't know why that is exactly, but I take it as a very serious sign that people want to hear about it. So here is something that came up. This is from the express.co.uk, the UK Express, the Daily Express. Exclusive: scientists baffled after mysterious, quote, alien, unquote, corpse found in Russia. September 2nd, 2015, Russian scientists are said to be baffled by the discovery of a small, quote, alien creature on the banks of a river near a major nuclear power plant. Now, to describe what this thing looks like, it's got a big head, a fairly large neck. It doesn't appear to be very big to begin with, but and one leg, I don't know, it's dark. It's got a mouth. It's got an eye. All right. Local news reports said the corpse with, quote, a mysterious skull was found by two residents next to the river Kavashi on Sunday in the Russian town of Saznavi Bor, a town built in 1958 to serve the Leningrad nuclear power plant. Could this be the result of nuclear mutations? I don't know. It is said that the locals who spotted it by chance initially believed it to be a mutant chicken embryo that had been discarded. Who would have discarded such a wonderful thing? However, local experts have been so far unable to say what it is. One researcher was quoted as saying, it seems that this body is neither fish nor fowl. Maybe it's something good to eat at Lent then. This creature has a mysterious skull, no neck and wings. The body was also looked at by experts from the Institute of Biophysics in Krasnoyarsk, who said it was impossible to make a quick identification. Crazy. They're sending it to Moscow. Alien investigators are already convinced it is of extraterrestrial origins. And Scott C. Waring, who edits UFO Sightings Daily, said this tiny alien body was found near a river in Russia and has no resemblance to any animal known. Russian scientists are confused over what it could be and said they need to wait for the results of the tests, which are probably DNA, he assumes. All right, so look it up, folks. Alien hunters discover ancient Egyptian face carvings on Mars. Alien hunters are claiming a coup in their quest to prove human-like ancient civilization once lived on Mars after finding an Egyptian-like face carved rock on the red planet. Just look it up. And now they've highlighted it with different colors. It indeed looks like a face with some big hair on top. So look up that one. And all right, I wanted to tell you one more thing. We have the local astronomers on occasionally. Stunning photos of the galaxy taken by a car mechanic in his backyard. A guy, and these are beautiful. You look at these and you think they're from the Hubble. Craig Allnut, which is either his name or a description, says that he became obsessed as a child with sky watching, and so he bought a telescope when he was 24 and has been snapping photos for the past 2 years. He's 34 now, but he's got pictures in this that look like they're from the Hubble. Now, this guy lives in Britain, so I would think, and I don't know anything about taking night pictures, although I tried to take a few the other day. They're incredible. They found a new galaxy, and were asking if anybody had any pictures of it or knew anything about it. He was able to bring these pictures, and he took them from his backyard. So anyway, we live in one of the best spots in the nation for night, watches. So, and looking at terrestrial stuff, extraterrestrial, sidereal, I believe is the term, the stars. All right, here's another story, a very weird story that I was going to play a clip on, but I don't know if, well, maybe I'll play a clip on this for you. Rosie O'Donnell took a kid away from a woman. And it turned out that that kid ran away from home and ended up staying with a heroin dealer or something. All right. What's interesting about this story, and now Rosie has cut her off. She cut her off. She's 18, though. She cut her off financially because she went to stay with the birth mother. Here is just a little bit on this. I thought you might find it interesting. I found the story very weird. I'll just tell you that she's moved back with her biological mother. She's 18, and Rosie cut her off. You don't have to hear that clip. Listen to this, though. This lady claims that Rosie O'Donnell took her baby. Rosie O'Donnell. Rosie O'Donnell, is she as evil as Donald Trump says? Let's find out.
Donald is living every adoptive parent's worst nightmare.
Rosie O'Donnell, that's my daughter. She took her.
A 37-year-old woman named Deanna McCauley is coming forward claiming she is the biological mother of Rosie's 17-year-old daughter, Chelsea.
And she's leveling a serious allegation. She says Rosie illegally adopted Chelsea back in 1997 when she was 2 months old. McCauley says she was high on drugs and that Chelsea's biological father put her up for adoption without her permission.
I don't believe I signed my rights, and if I did, I was under the influence, and I never wanted to give my daughter up for adoption.
McCauley says when she gave birth, she named the baby Kayla. Rosie changed the name to Chelsea when the adoption went through. McCauley tells the National Enquirer she didn't even know Rosie was Chelsea's adopted mother until Chelsea tracked her down last November and they began exchanging text messages.
I told Chelsea, I said, wow, your mom is Rosie O'Donnell, and she's like, LOL, yeah. I really don't care about Rosie O'Donnell. It's my daughter that I was happy to have reunited with.
She says Rosie, at first, encouraged her to start a relationship with Chelsea. But pretty soon, things turned bitter. You really should get your facts before you text Chelsea all your lies, went one Rosie text to the biological mother. McCauley responds, they are not lies, replies Rosie. Get any lawyers you want. It was all legal, like it or not. Now stop. Last month, McCauley sent this handwritten letter. Dear Rosie, I don't know how you sleep at night. You did the worst thing a woman could do to another woman. You took my child.
She's rich, and she buys whatever she wants, obviously. She can even buy kids. So she gets what she wants.
These have been a rough few months for Rosie, who left The View in February, holding her 2-year-old daughter, Dakota. Rosie has 5 kids. Chelsea is her oldest daughter. Rosie's spokesperson says in a statement to Inside Edition, it is awful that this woman decided to go public. Rosie legally adopted Chelsea, As an advocate of adoption, Rosie is grateful to all birth mothers everywhere, and she hopes that the National Enquirer did not pay this woman.
I love my daughter, and I did not sign my daughter away.
Pretty sad, huh? Shame on you, Rosie. Stealing somebody's kid. Of course, there may be more to the story, but the girl obviously wants to be reunited with her birth mother, so... Anyway, we'll come back in just a second. I have a beautiful montage of insults from Trump, speaking of which, that I think you'll enjoy. 740 Kelly O'Connell, AM Las Cruces, 1450 KOBE. I'm Kelly O'Connell, 523 1450, 523 1450, 805 6180. And maybe in the future, we will start off all of our mornings not with a reading from Chairman Mao's Red Book, but with an insult from President Trump. Who knows? Be right back. Okay, so without further ado, are you ready for the Trump insult of the day? Check it out. Oh, and I did get a... I'm trying to get better about reading these texts. Now, I just got one from Kathy. Ew. All right. So it says, why is it you half ASS? Read the liberal text and carefully read the conservative views. Walt is the only thing saving your show. I guess that was from yesterday. The only thing saving my show I'm in deep trouble in. You conservatives hate Hillary so much, maybe Sanders will win. Talk about a socialist state. Trump v. Sanders. Kathy. Is that careful enough, Kathy? Walt is the best thing that has happened to your show. He probably doesn't even want to go on, but I would love for him to be on longer on Tuesday or at least one more day, Kathy. Kelly. Stop interrupting, Walt. You hate it when people do that to you. Kathy. Kathy must have been really hopped up on caffeine yesterday. The press, president, and talk shows like... Oh, the press and talk shows like yours fan the flames. It doesn't take much to set off an unstable person. Speaking from experience, Kathy. As for the religious witch who won't issue marriage licenses, she needs to be fired. Just another example of someone... religious beliefs being used to deny others their civil rights. She needs to go to work at a church, not a sweet, high-paying government job. Kathy. All right, Kathy, was that slow enough for you? Or should I slow it down a little more? All right, I was texting you to see if you have any interest in hosting, the Shenandoah Band. All right, we'll find out about that. How many people do you know that are out of work? I don't know any. Why are some... islands going underwater if no global warming? I don't know of any islands that are going under global warming. I read the other day this statement that the global warming was the greatest hoax, the greatest scientific hoax, not global warming, but the rise of seas was the greatest hoax in human history. So if I have to read that again, I will. Hey, Kelly. Is that why Shell just got rights to drill in chartered waters? Because my understanding is that those oceans were all ice previously. Is that an antidote of an incident? It's not antidote. An antidote is something that, you know, like you get poisoned, you take an antidote. Anecdote. It's one example of something. You don't do science off one example usually. The fact that China has no freshwater sources, they all dried up. China buys bottled water from Lake Michigan. Well, God bless them. I didn't know Lake Michigan, you could drink out of it. All right, here we go. Kathy, this is for you and your hero, Rosie O'Donnell.
One of the things people love about you is you speak your mind and you don't use a politician's filter. However, that is not without its downsides, in particular when it comes to women. You've called women you don't like fat pigs, dogs, slobs, and disgusting animals. Your Twitter account...
Only Rosie several... O'Donnell.
No, it wasn't.
All right, the biggest cheer of the night Are you a fan of Rosie O'Donnell's call up in Defender? Here is Donald Trump, some of his more notable insults.
Well, we have some of the dumbest leaders in the world. We have losers. We have losers.
They're losers. They're just losers.
We have very stupid people.
We have stupid leadership. How stupid are our leaders? How stupid are these politicians to allow this to happen? How stupid are they? Hillary Clinton was the single worst Secretary of State in the history of this country. The world collapsed around us while she was Secretary of State.
I have just one word for Mr. Trump. Basta. Enough!
Well, I think Jeb is a nice person. He's very low energy. I'm not used to that kind of a person.
So he's doing this to inflame and to incite and to draw attention, which is to be his organizing principle of his campaign.
To say something to you, by the way, I read an article yesterday that Donald Trump is emasculating Jeb Bush, you know, like taking off his stones, you know what I mean? Which I think is actually true. I mean, everybody he insults, you see differently afterwards. I don't know what it is about this guy. But...
And then I see Rick Perry the other day, and he's so, you know, he's doing very poorly in the polls. He put glasses on so people will think he's smart. And it just doesn't work. You know, people can see through the glasses.
Donald Trump does not have the character, nor does he have the temperament to be the commander-in-chief.
You have this guy, Lindsey Graham, a total lightweight. Here's a guy in the private sector. He couldn't get a job, believe me. Couldn't get a job. He couldn't do what you people did. You're all retired as hell and rich, okay? He wouldn't be rich. He'd be poor.
He's becoming a jackass at a time when we need to have a serious debate about the future of the party and the country.
And I see this vicious tweet, because I've been nice to Scott Walker. I said, oh, finally I can attack. Finally.
You know, for a lot of us, it's like watching a car accident instead of focusing on the direction we should be headed. That's a sideshow out there.
But Mr. Trump, you're not a nice person. That's true. But actually, I am.
I actually think Donald Trump's a nice guy. He's just kind of a blowhard. Narcissist, maybe. But all right, so I've got another story, a fascinating story about a stolen body that you'll... Yeah, it's a little creepy, but anyway. Kelly O'Connell, 750. Big kisses to you, Kathy. And all the other liberals, all the other Democrats listening in. I actually find it more invigorating to get a critical or liberal or whatever a call in. It makes me think, puts me on my feet. But I obviously appreciate the texts and calls from conservatives as well. 751, you're listening to AM Las Cruces on 1450 KOBE. Kelly O'Connell, 523 1450. 805-6180 to text. We'll be back and talk about this casket. All right, going to squeeze as many stories as I can in here at the end. Hillary Clinton's aide, Cheryl Mills, gushes. I was at the foot. I am at the foot of the master learning. That just make you want to vomit. Okay. Wiener defends Huma from Trump. Huh. All right. So Jorge Ramos, even though he's supporting all of these kids coming into America and being sent to American public schools, he sends his kids to an elite private school, of course. Now, Hillary Clinton wrote classified emails sent on servers. She didn't know about the classified emails, but she happened to write some of them. Markings changed to hide content, shielding extent of classified info, contained spy satellite data on North Korea nukes. Documents that shaped U.S. policy, she put out there. do you think that anything should happen to her? Here's the story. Obsessed man reportedly, they're looking at him if they can find him in the theft of Julie Mott's body. A young lady, 25 years old, had a disease in her lungs. She finally succumbed. She's a very pretty young girl. And so she died. He was obsessed with her. He was calling and texting her before she died. And this is in, I think it's in San Antonio. Before her burial, her body disappeared. And now they can't find this guy. And he had shown up to the, he had been invited to the, funeral. And he was one of the last people that was in the funeral house, maybe the last person. So who knows what he's doing with that body? Poor thing. I think she died of cystic fibrosis, which affects your lungs. All right. Here is, they have found evidence of where Goliath in the Bible lived. The biblical city of Philistine Gath has been unearthed, and it's one of the largest gates. The gates were where the city, obviously where the people came into the city in the ancient world. Cities tended to be, important cities tended to have walls to protect them, the residents. The city wall is where a lot of important business would happen. There would be there would be rooms next to the gates where important things happened. So anyway, some of the largest gates they've ever found. And Gath is reported to have been where the home of the Philistine warrior Goliath that David, King David, supposedly killed with a slingshot. So it's kind of interesting. All right. That's from the dailymail.com or UK. Now, if you're a John Wayne fan, cover your ears. He was a womanizer who dated, he tended to like Latin American women. His second wife came right out of the brothels of Mexico. And he downed countless hots or bottles of tequila and smoked up to 5 packs of unfiltered Camels every day. And ended up obviously getting lung cancer, and he was very, very sick the last years of his life. But he had affairs with Marlena Dietrich, who also, speaking of famous gays, apparently carried a gay woman around with her, or a beautiful young gay woman. He was in such bad health towards the end of his life that he asked his sons to give him a gun so he can end his life. But anyway, he had a lot of affairs. Most of those guys. I was reading a book the other day that said a lot of these, not John Wayne, but a lot of these famous stars were actually bi, believe it or not. Maybe I'll mention that in a future show. But anyway, John Wayne, well, you can't blame him. He was a handsome guy and he had a lot of opportunity. Kelly O'Connell and... thanks for listening in AM Las Cruces, 1450 KOBE, and we'll catch you back in 22 hours. Ciao. Thank you.